As we stand, let us pray. Lord Jesus, please help us to run the race set before us. Be our strength, be our coach, and be our prize. Amen. Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the Christian Olympics, which are being held this year at St. Nicholas Church in Nottingham. The track event, which you are about to witness, is the Holiness Race. It's a race open to anybody. And there are many contestants already lined up. There have been many entries this year. Men and women, black people and white people, people in wheelchairs, able-bodied people, people with 150-pound pairs of trainers, people with no shoes at all on their feet. All kinds of people ready to run in the Holiness Race. Maybe there's some entries from people here this evening. I would like to introduce you to three of the competitors this evening. Competitors who may have one or two problems in the Holiness Race. In all the best traditions of confidentiality, we'll call them Tom, Dick and Harry. Tom, tell you a little bit about him. Tom is a quick change artist. He goes to church on Sundays and he sings songs about living for Jesus. Songs where he says, I choose to be holy. But he has developed a capacity for lightning changes. As the service is over, he leaves at the door and drives home, steps back into the house, and straight back into a vicious argument with his wife. Tom is a quick change artist. He can move from a time of spiritual exercise into the energetic pursuit of sin in 30 seconds flat. That's Tom. Dick is different. Dick's got stereo. You know, in a car sound system, a stereo system can play two completely different things. One out of one channel and something quite different out of the other channel at the same time. Dick does that with his life. Sometimes he's immersed in a kind of self-pitying hole, wallowing in feeling sorry for himself. And some Christian chorus, some jingle, goes round and round in his head. Victory is on our lips and in our lives. He plays two completely different things out of his life at the same time. Dick's got stereo. Harry. Harry's a radical apathist. He makes magnificent promises. He prays, Lord, take this country for Jesus. Lord, make me a soldier in the army. But if you were to take a video of his life and turn the sound down, there'd be nothing there. He's what the Americans call a couch potato. He doesn't do anything. Harry's a radical apathist. Jesus calls us to run the race of holiness, the race of consistency, of purity. Tom, Dick, and Harry have got problems with their personal holiness. So have I. They've found out that words are cheap, but the self-discipline that's necessary to living a holy life is mighty expensive. They're fed up with mouthing empty words on Sunday, all hands and song, signifying nothing. Let's see if there's any help for them in the Bible. And perhaps along the way, there'll be a little bit of help for you and me too. I guess the first question when you enter a race and you stand there, it's a bit like getting on the train as it begins to set off. Am I in the right place? You feel that? Am I in the right train? Am I in the right race? There's the holiness race. There's holiness and there's forgiveness. And sometimes those two things, to change the metaphor, are a bit like a pair of weighing scales. And we have to have holiness and forgiveness in the right balance. If you get holiness without forgiveness, you end up with hellfire preaching, the stuff that frightens people, the stuff that in the end ignores Calvary. I read a book once where somebody would conduct the singing with a poker to remind people of hellfire. Holiness without forgiveness. But sometimes you have forgiveness without holiness. A kind of feather pillow Christianity. All warmth and comfort. With no sharp edges. No goads. Nothing to challenge us. And I fear that sometimes we have fallen into this error. You know, we major on the God who forgives us again and again and again. The God who heals us, who loves us. Yes, that's all true. But it's not all the truth. We search for an instant, cozy spirituality. Just add boiling water and stir. And in so doing, we miss a vital part of Christianity. And we weaken and impoverish ourselves. The holiness race is essential. Passages from the Bible which condemn sin in clear and in shocking terms sound unfamiliar to many of us. Passages which utter threats to Christians, threats which make me quiver in my boots. Warnings. We need to rediscover the hard edges of our faith, the demands, the warnings, the confrontations. Gerald read us a reading from Ephesians 5. It had a catalogue of sins there. There are more than 20 major passages in the New Testament which catalogue things that we should not do, ways that we should not live. That's more teaching than there is on spiritual warfare, more teaching than there is on church government, more teaching than there is on spiritual gifts. This is important. So let's dive into Ephesians 5 and see what it has to say. 1176 in your pew Bible. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says this. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. A shocking statement. The demand for behavioural holiness. The warning for us. Tom, Dick and Harry standing on the starting point for the holiness race. Didn't want to be there. Tom tried to get out of the race. He said, well, of course, this passage refers to people who are not Christians, doesn't it? Sorry. If you turn over and look at Galatians 5, Galatians 5 and verse 21, Paul says this, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sorry, Tom. The assessment is behavioural. Those who live like this will not inherit. Back in the race. Dick tried to get out of the race too. His line was this. He says, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you say sorry a lot. That's not Christianity. The Bible expects us to demonstrate the genuineness of our faith by living holy lives. The desire to live like Jesus is essential if we're to be serious Christians. Sorry, Dick. Back in the race. Harry wasn't any more keen either, initially. He tried to get out of the race by suggesting that all this business is works and not faith. That holiness is works. That what we're trying to do is earn our favour with God by doing the right thing. Again, that's an avoidance strategy. We receive the life of God by faith as a free gift. We live out the life of God in obedience. We demonstrate our faith by our works. We demonstrate our faith by running the holiness race. If I exhibit no holiness in my life, if I have no desire to live a life of purity and godliness, there is no evidence to show that my Christianity is genuine. Sorry, Harry. Back in the race. The end result is that we must take this verse seriously. No immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. To painfully understate, God does not like sin. He takes a very serious view of it, especially in the life of the Christian. To ignore this warning is to take a serious and foolish risk. What do we do? Well, three qualifying conditions for entering the race. First, we need to take seriously the attitude that God has to sin. Sometimes we seem to want the ecstasy of grand spiritual experiences, to be caught up into the third heaven, to see amazing and awesome revelations of God. That's good. Somebody once said that we will only know the sweetness of Christ if we taste the reality of the bitterness of sin. We'll only know the sweetness of Christ when we know the bitterness of sin. Secondly, we have to confess. Jesus died to pay the price for our sin. He showed the price, the importance of sin, by dying on the cross. If our forgiveness could have been bought at a cheaper price, surely the Father would have found an easier way. Jesus was nailed to the spot so we could be free to run the race. And third, we have to live clean lives. We have to turn away from the evil that is inside to make an uncompromising rejection of sin, to adopt a determination, almost a fierce determination, to do the right thing. Determination to get those times to pray. To live the life of purity and integrity. So let's see how Tom, Dick, and Harry go about running the race. What are their priorities? Tom, as far as he was concerned, his emphasis is all in the mind. If you get your head right, you get the race right. The secret of running well is thinking well. I don't know about you, but sometimes my thought life is like a homing pigeon. Leave it alone and it lands in the same places, back to the same preoccupations, the same material. Resentment. The people who always ring me up when I'm sitting down to eat. The people at work who are always late for the meeting. The same feelings of hurt, resentment, the same preoccupations. What is it that preoccupies your thinking? At other times, my thoughts find other places to roost that I won't tell you about, but I'm not proud of. Brothers and sisters, let's get our thinking right. Let's invite God to come into the secret places, the places that nobody else can see. Invite the Holy Spirit into our thoughts, into our priorities, to get our heart longing right. And when we get our hearts right and our motivation right, to get our heads right, then the strategies for how to run will be some use to us. That's Tom. Dick's strategy is different. He thinks about his breathing. If you look back a few verses, Ephesians 5 and verse 4, there's a tip here for how to run the race. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. What do you breathe out? What do you speak out? Not foolish talking, but thanksgiving. How many times have you thanked God recently? We're to thank God for many things. What do you thank him for? If you can't thank God for everything about the situation you're in, then go down a notch. Find something that you can give thanks for. If you've got a cold, be glad that there are people who care for you. If you've got no shoes, be glad that you've got feet. When you constantly breathe out thankfulness, it's very hard for your mouth to be full of rudeness and obscenity and resentment and sarcasm. Let's get our breathing right. Tom, his priority was thinking right. Dick was breathing right, speaking right. Harry's emphasis was to do with the other people in the race. He knows that runners get knocked over sometimes. They get tripped up by mistake. They bump into one another. So he tries to make sure what he does is right. Look back at Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Forgiveness is essential in running the holiness race. People are bound to tread on your toes sometimes. But you know, we often think of forgiveness as a definite step we take when we've been sinned against. I do one thing, trip you up. You do one thing, forgive me, I hope. But perhaps forgiveness is more of a walk or a run than a single step. So often the things that offend me are things which seem to be permanent, long-standing features about people. People who, just as I'm getting my head down to sleep, decide that at 11:30, midnight, in the next flat, Guns N' Roses at 98 decibels is the thing. Every day, people don't wash up in my house. Every day I get into the car, my wife has used it the last time, she's not as tall as I am, and the seat is forward, and I get in the car and I bash my knees and I bash my head and my nose goes against the windscreen and I bang my head on the rearview mirror. I guess she does whatever the opposite of that is. Forgiveness is an everyday thing. If somebody smells, if somebody says stupid things, if somebody does silly things, forgiveness is something we do day after day after day. Every time they get up your nose. Forgiveness is essential. Because in the race together, We're going to trip one another up. We're going to stand on one another's toes. But running the holiness race is compulsory. In the book of Hebrews, it says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Do you want to see him? Run the race. We need to get our thinking right. We need to get our breathing, our speaking right. We need to get our relationships right. What's the consequence of all this? It said in Ephesians 5 that the church fellowship should be so pure there's not even a hint of sin. Do you remember, it's a bit old now, but do you remember the film Chariots of Fire? There was Abrams and Little, and the coach, if you can remember his name, tell me afterwards. The guy who wore the straw hat and shouted at people. He taught Abrams how to get more out of his body as he ran. How to break the tape first, you know? How to get through it. But it only worked, the coaching only worked because Abrams had such a drive to run and to win. He was so determined. And if we all ran in the holiness race like that, then any encouragement, any coaching, any discipline that came our way, we would welcome. Show me how to do it better. Sometimes, you know, the encouragement from our leaders, from those who pastor us and care for us, goes down like a concrete parachute because we've given up the race. It's like nagging a child to play the piano. They don't want to do it. And if they don't want to do it, it's hard to encourage them. But if you want to run the race, if your desire is to run the holiness race, then any advice, any encouragement is welcomed. Show me how to do it better. And this is the relationship between self-discipline and church discipline. Much of the responsibility for holiness lies with us as individuals. We need stirring up to strive for purity inside, to get our mental preoccupations right, to make sure our thoughts are homing in on the right things, to get our speech right and our relationships right. The good news, and with this I'll close, is that there's a prize for all who run. God rewards all who run in the holiness race. If you've heard rumours of power in the Christian life, but have not experienced it, then run this race. In Acts 5:24, the scripture says, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. There's a condition for blessing. There's a blessing that's free, and there's a blessing that's conditional. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And if you feel that your life has been dry and powerless, you've heard rumours of power, but none of the evidence in your own life, let's get on the starting chocks and let's run. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. With obedience, he will give his Spirit to all who ask. Let's pray together.